If you would, please turn with me to Genesis 26. We're going to grab a verse, a couple verses from Genesis 26. We're going to jump then to 27 for a verse, and then to chapter 28 for a few verses. But we're going to start in Genesis 26. And again, happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. And it is a good day to celebrate moms. And in light of that, we're going to look at a relationship between a mother and her child. We're going to look at Rebekah and Esau today, starting in Genesis 26. And the relationship between a mom and her child is a very significant relationship. And all of you know that in many ways, that your relationship with your mom does a lot to shape who you are and what you experience in life. Irregardless of whether or not your mother is still living or has since moved on, the relationship with your mom is very impacting to this day. Whether you had a very nurturing, loving relationship with your mom that has created a sense of stability and emotional security in you and has enabled you to tackle the things you've tackled, or whether you had a rocky relationship with your mom, or you had an absent mom, and that left you with feelings of inadequacy and insecurities and have made things rough for you or traumatic for you. But that relationship with your mom is so key to so many different things. And in fact, many psychiatrists will often point out when you receive counseling that something has to do with your relationship with your mom, enough so that it has become a running joke within society that it's always your mom's fault, everything you go through. And it's got to be the mom's fault because they can handle the brunt of that better than the dads can, right? But it is powerful, this relationship. And even from the mom's end, you know that your kids have a lot to do with how you feel about life, how your relationship is going with them, whether or not it's fractured, how your kids are behaving. And as much as we would love to say we live in a very uncritical world, you know that when you're in public and your kids act a certain way, it hurts you and it embarrasses you, and how your kids turn out have a great deal to do with how you feel as far as emotional security and those sort of things. This is a very powerful relationship, and yet many times it doesn't quite turn out exactly like we would hope it would. And there are hurts at times from either end. There's pain, and how do we bring healing to that? How do we find healing for the scars that are there? And how do we get this right? How do we get to a place where we begin to give honor to our moms? We're going to find this out from Esau and Rebekah. Look with me, Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26, we're going to pick up at verse 34. Genesis 26, beginning at verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Now go over to chapter 27, the very end of that chapter, 27, verse 46. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then jump over to chapter 28, verses 6 through 9. Chapter 28, verses 6 through 9. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Padan Aram. So, when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. We can figure this out, how to honor our moms and how to gain healing, by taking three steps as far as honoring our mothers, and by making three realizations as far as the makeup of this relationship. So the first step is we see in this passage that Esau, he had a bad rap. He began to make some poor choices, and as he did, his mom and his parents began to react a certain way from his choices, and he was not honoring his mom by the way he behaved. And as much as there are different things in life that you think will bring honor to your mom, nothing tends to bring more honor to your mom than you living a good life. You being a good person, you doing right things brings honor to your mom. Even many times women who are drug addicts or alcoholics and have issues in their own lives, they long for their children to not be like them. And there is a sense of honor when a mom can point and say, that is my daughter. That is my son. When they can go and tell their friends, you know what my son does with his life, my daughter does with her life, and there's this sense of honor in that when we live that way. And so the first step to honor our parents is to just live right. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be incredibly successful or all of those things, just to begin to make good life choices. The next step, now here's where tension was arising in this relationship between Esau and Rebekah. So Esau would make bad choices, and he would recognize that his mom began to favor his brother. Now, anybody ever be the not favorite sibling in the bunch? Anybody ever be there before? All right. Anybody say that you are the favorite in the bunch? No? Okay, good. I was going to say no one wanted to admit that. All right. And it just happens sometimes in families where one is more favored than the other. And it's just kind of the way it works. If one is pleasant all the time, it's just easier to like that child. That was just an amen from the back there. If one is rough and difficult, it's just harder to love a person like that. It's just the way that it is. But here's the dynamic that happens. When Esau was in that place where his mom was not being favorable towards him and grew to dislike him, he had emotional needs that needed to be met, and he needed his mom to like him. But she didn't. She liked Jacob. And that hurt him. And when you begin to hurt and you're suffering in whatever way emotionally, you begin to do things in reaction to that. And I'm amazed at how many times we get caught in this kind of cycle where somebody hurts my feelings because I'm acting dumb, and they hurt my feelings because of the way they feel towards me, so I do more of those dumb things. And then it gets worse. And I hurt more, and I do more of the dumb things. Have you ever seen that in life before? Where people keep doing, you think, just stop doing that. But it just keeps going down and down and down and down. And the reason why is because Esau didn't learn the lesson that we need to learn with our relationships with our moms, probably in our relationships in general. And it fits our Outrageous Love series that we're going through at the moment. But to figure out how to focus on her emotional needs rather than mine. So if you want to honor your mom, figure out, how do I just care about what her emotional needs are and not what mine are? Because if I'm focused on my emotional needs, I'm not going to make the right choices.
That's right.
I'm not going to be loving. I'm not going to be kind when it isn't fitting to protect me and my emotional needs. I'm not going to honor someone. I'm not going to make those choices. I'm not going to make my relationships any better if I choose to focus on me. Which is the irony, and that's why Jesus made that statement, that powerful statement, he who wants to gain his life will lose it, and he who is willing to lose his life for my sake will gain it. The best posture in life is to not really focus on you, to focus on them. And I challenge you, if you start doing this on this Mother's Day, to honor your mom, and you can do this whether she's living or not, because there is some emotional healing when you start giving honor to the legacy of your mom, despite that she's no longer here. And you need that. And I'm challenging you, start this Mother's Day, to start treating your mom and focusing on her emotional needs rather than yours. Watch something start to change. What would have happened if Esau would have started to say, you know, I'm done with these pagan women, and I'm just going to start being faithful to the Lord? What do you think Rebecca would have done with that? You think she would have kicked him out of the house? You think she would have tried to steal his blessing and his birthright if that was the posture? No, her behavior and her actions were driven by Esau's. And you can pretty much influence the way people act around you if you choose love, because what does Corinthians say? Love never fails. So the first step is I need to make good life choices. Secondly, I need to focus on them and not me. Third, in 28, verse 8, Esau saw that the Canaanite women, did you notice this? Did not please his father. So he made a choice because of that feeling. And you know that common phrase, and we mentioned it last week or a couple weeks ago, that hurting people hurt people. Esau was bitter. He felt animosity in his heart, and so he chose to stick it to his dad and to his mom. And I've been, over the past couple of months or so, it's been on my heart to ask myself the question, with everything I do and everything I say, what is motivating me to do this? Why do I feel motivated to act this way or say this thing? Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, what is the motivation in my heart? Because you may find that a lot of times you don't even realize that you're acting out of anger and animosity and out of your hurt, and you're doing things that are damaging your relationship and damaging your mother and damaging others because you're acting out of strife rather than love. And if we start making sure that everything I do, am I doing this because I love this person? Am I doing this because I care about this person? And the more I walk in that way, but the hard thing is we don't want to do that. When they're not kind or loving or nurturing to us, we don't want to give them what they're not giving us. But you're never going to see the transformation if you don't choose at some point to be the one who is on the losing end of the stick. Because when someone decides to start to love, that's what begins to transform things. And some of you have moms out there that you haven't talked to in some time, still living. Some of you have children out there that you have not been on good terms with for a long time. And your challenge is, are you willing to demonstrate love to them when it's all really been on them as far as the problems are concerned? And have you ever had to apologize to somebody who wronged you? And maybe, again, you had reasons for doing the things that you did, but are you ever willing to say, when it was really mostly them, I'm sorry that I reacted this way? I'm telling you, love never fails. And if you want to honor your moms on Mother's Day better than some card that you spend, isn't it amazing how much cards cost anymore? You could buy the gift for about the price of the card sometimes. That's not true, right? Mothers, we're spending much more on you than that. It's not the card. It's not the gift that you give them. It's not the... My daughter, Faith, brought breakfast in bed to Heather this morning. She would not allow her to get ready for the day until the food was up on her lap. But that, as much as that was a wonderful gesture, if my life is not a way that makes my mom joy and satisfies her heart, then the gifts don't mean anything. Amen. And so if you want to honor your mom, start to make good choices. Start to focus on her emotional needs rather than yours and choose to act based on love and not spite. And again, this is broader than just our moms. This is in any relationship. This is necessary. Now, what are the things that I need to come to a realization with? Let's look at this from three angles. One, let's take the angle of the child. Everyone in this room at some point was a child, right? Unless somebody came, has a surprise for me. Everyone in this room was a child at some point in your life. And whether it was your mom or your dad, that there was rough things going on there that were difficult. And I reflect, and I've shared with you some of my story. And as I reflect upon some of the things with my mom, now my dad was the more problematic of the two. When I think of different things about my mom, her difficulty in ever to be able to vocalize "I love you," and the staleness sometimes in the emotions. And as much as I want to, as a child, have certain feelings because of that, there is something amazing when you take a person and no longer let them be one-dimensional, and you bring dimension to who they are. And there's a time, I don't know if it was a year or so ago, I began to reflect upon my mom. And I began to think about all the things she was wrestling with at the time that I was growing up. The marriage that was very much a difficult marriage. The financial situation that was not the best. There were times she was working two, sometimes three jobs at a time. There was a time that she was at least working two jobs and going to school, if not three. And I don't know why this is. There's three of us children in the house, but she was the only one cleaning it. And she hated a messy house. She was working three jobs, at times going to school, rocky, difficult marriage, and cleaning everything and never being given thanks for what you do. Moms, have you ever been there before? Nobody ever says thank you. It's just they think it just gets taken care of, like the laundry fairy just comes, swoops in, takes care of it all. And this is what my mom is living in at the time that I am a 13, 14-year-old, psychologically a mess teenager. And it just in case you didn't know that all teenagers are psychologically a mess, right? And amen. My mom also had a difficult upbringing. She had three brothers who just harassed her on end. And any brothers care to say that was not you, right? No brothers ever did that. She was shy, inward, and just got pelted with insults. And her dad was not any help. And so when I want to look back and say I'm upset with certain things my mom has done, when I start to think about the multifaceted picture of her life, how can I be mad with her? How can I be upset with my mom when she was going through that at the time that I was going through whatever it was I was going through with when I was a teenager? And doesn't that do something substantial when you start to understand another person? All of a sudden, you're able to be compassionate. You're able to love. You're able to forgive because you understand from their end. Now let's try it from the parent to the child. Kids are crazy, aren't they? They're just nuts. I remember, I have to remember sometimes that I can't pick on Daquan all the time because one, he's sitting right here. And sometimes when they're not around, I'm tempted to throw things into a message to see if they listen to it later on the website. But Heather's saying no. But so I'll forsake that story just for his sake. But kids are crazy. They are nuts. And if you don't think kids are crazy, you've not been a parent before. Or have you ever been struggling with yourself as a parent and you came across the person who has one child and it's this perfect child? That's just always nice, always does the right thing. And they say, I don't understand what your problem is. It's easy for me. Yeah, it's easier for you. An angel came out of your womb. But kids are difficult. They're challenging. And they don't do what you tell them to do all the time. And they yell at you. And I'm sure none of you parents have never heard the word, I hate you, or the phrase, I hate you, coming out of your children's mouths. And there is some truth psychologically to the fact that a brain does not become fully developed until you're about the age of 25. And I worked in the insurance industry, and the insurance industry will also testify to this, because if you've ever paid attention to insurance rates, a 16-year-old on an insurance policy, sky high is the rates. And it just gradually moves down as they get older. But when you hit 25, from 25 to 50, the rate stays the same and it significantly drops at the age of 25. You know why? Because insurance agents, they know kids are a mess up there. But as much as we want to yell at them and be harsh to them and come down on them, and all of us have fallen prey to that. And sometimes I think parents just expect their kids to be adults. You just expect them to be 30 years old and fully mature and developed at the age of 10. And we forget sometimes what it was like to be a child. In fact, it's why Jesus so often would pick up the children in his arms and bless them. It's why so often Jesus would say, one of the most harshest statements he ever made in Matthew 18, that if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depth of the sea. Because Jesus understood how impressionable children are and what they're going through. Do you remember the day when all of a sudden you had this surge of hormones rushing through your body at the age of 12 or 13? When I get to heaven, I'm going to have to ask God why he doesn't wait till 25. Because for a 12, 13-year-old to have to process all that stuff, especially in the culture that we live in today, that's painful. It's awkward. It's difficult to go through that. And then you add to it going to school today. Now, I went to school in the 90s, and I've heard it's only gotten worse since I've gone to school with the bullying and the drugs and the way that kids treat each other. And that being at the young age where they're trying to figure out, who am I and what am I supposed to do and do I even matter and does anybody care about me? And then to go home and have a parent be harsh to them. When you think they're lashing out at you, they're lashing out from their pain. They're lashing out from what the kids at school are saying about them. They're lashing out because those hormones are going nuts and they don't know what to do with their bodies. Have you ever seen a kid where you just realize they don't know what to do with their body? And it's just jumping around all over the place and they have all this energy. They don't know what to do with it. And we want to like tie them down to the floor and we want to just like make them watch the paint dry for a while and just do something. But they're going through a lot. And the more I can put myself in the place of somebody else's shoes, all of a sudden it completely transforms what I do in my relationships. Last realization is that in the relationship with all of us, is that whenever someone hurts you, usually it means they're going through something. When someone misses you, they don't pay attention to you, it's not because they hate you. Even if sometimes those words come out of their mouth, it's because they're hurting. And how many people around us are hurting and acting in their pain, and then our reaction is to hurt back? And see, the reason why we don't find healing is because we don't see people the way Jesus does. When the woman was dragged to him because she had been caught in the act of committing adultery, those who dragged her to him, they wanted to react in the stuff that was going on in them, and they wanted her dead. And Jesus, you know the story, had the reaction that he did. He reacted with compassion and concern for her and what she was going through. Now, he corrected her and told her to go and sin no more, but he knew there is more to this than just the fact that someone just got caught in adultery. There is a larger picture. And what would it look like if in all our interactions with people, we started trying to get to know their story before we acted? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? I'll give you your payment later for those amens. We are broken people. And even though sometimes we have our good days where we feel great about life, aren't you amazed at how sometimes you're walking on cloud nine and it just takes one statement from somebody and it's all gone? As much as we feel great, how flimsy sometimes is the footing that we're walking on. But there is such stability to be found in walking on the ground of Jesus Christ, on that rock on which we stand. And there are some of you here today that you're broken and you're realizing that as much as, and I know some of you laughed when you heard me bring up Rebekah and Esau. I'm thinking that some of you have realized I'm Esau. Esau's me. I mean, Esau was awful, and I've always thought bad of him, but Esau's me. Esau was hurting, and he was doing stuff based off that. Esau felt ignored, unseen, and did stuff based on that. Esau was angry and bitter and did things based on that. And there are some of you today that you're in that place of bitterness and hurt, and you've been hurting other people because of it. And the Lord wants you to turn around, to repent, and to let Him change that in your heart. That bitterness, as much as you think it can't go, and I've shared this with you before, I had a major hatred feeling towards my dad. But when I came to know Christ at 18 years old, it was gone instantly. There were other things that weren't gone on instantly. Don't you wish He would just take all the things instantly? But that anger was just gone instantaneously, gone, never to resurface again. Confusion maybe, but not anger. And you have bitterness that you're holding in your heart, God could take it in an instant if you come and let Him do that surgery on your heart today. Or you're here and you're hurting. And perhaps what makes it worse is if it was based on your relationship with your mom, who you can't go and see now because she's left this earth. But you don't need your biological mom to be present for you to become healed. You don't need that. Now, if your mother is still alive, you need to go make things right. You need to begin to go and honor her and show love for her. But there are certain things that only the Lord can heal. And there are some of you here today, you're hurting, and you need the Lord to touch you in those deep, dark places that no one else knows about but you and Him. And as the worship team leads us, will you come and either be freed or either be healed? But let's seek Him this morning. Father, thank You that You pick up the broken pieces of our lives. Even when at times we didn't even realize it was there, Lord, You are so loving, so tender, so powerful, Lord, that You come in and You pick up the broken pieces of our heart. And Lord, I ask that You would help us. Help us to be the kind of people, Lord, that don't continue to add to this problem, but we become the type of people that bring life and light to those around us. Lord, when You entered into this world, John wrote in his gospel that a great light had come into the darkness. Lord, we ask that You would help us to be that. You said, let our light shine before men. Help us to be that. And when we are hurting and when we're struggling, Lord, we ask that You would help us to find the comfort and peace in Your presence. Help us to lean on one another to receive the support that we need. You are a great Savior, Lord. Great Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the Lord?